Heyo, welcome back to Shakedown Chan. That's good, I can hear it. There we go, so we're on the right mic. We tried and now we started over and I'm trying to remember what I said, but the heyo thing is going to be my new intro for a while till I don't dig it anymore. For those of you who do know where it's from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And if you don't know where Heyo is from, well, you should go watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia because it is hilarious. One of my favorite shows. I've seen it 1,000 times.
It was a good show.
It was a good show. It's, I believe it's still on Netflix. Nope, they took it off, I think. I think it's on Hulu, and that's why I switched to Hulu. Okay. But yeah, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I literally just watched the seasons on repeat.
Was that Danny DeVito?
Yeah, he was in that. Okay. It was hilarious. So anyway, we took a little bit of a vacation last week. We weren't here and I did try to do a Facebook Live video finishing up Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's ridiculously long platform. And I was at home in the mountains where I have really bad Wi-Fi signal and it kept cutting in and out. And I was also trying to hold the puppy and it was a train wreck, but we somehow managed to get through it. And it was, I think the video was behind the audio and it was funny. Yeah. It was a good time.
It was good.
It was good. Rothbard got some video time. He got some air time. And we just finished up the last few things on there so we can move along on to what's current this week. So during our little vacation, Noah went to Cub Scout camp. So that's a fun thing that happened while we were away from the mic. And he stayed there for, I think, 4 days he was away. And it was a really good experience. And I'm kind of upset that I didn't chaperone. I usually tend to chaperone and stuff, but it was during the week, and so I didn't really plan it out because it's our first year going to Cub Scout camp, so I was really disorganized on my end because I had no idea what to plan for or whatever, so I let him go. But I think next year I want to go. Anyway, they got rain the whole time, like torrential downpour, so maybe next year it'll be better weather and I'll luck out. So they went to Camp Wakaponomi, I think that's how you say it, up like on near like Fort Ann area. And they learned how to shoot BB guns and archery. And they did a whole bunch of like team building stuff. And it was, it seems like a really good program. And he brought home his target practice stuff. And he said he was really bad at archery, but he didn't look like he was that bad at the BB guns. He looked like he did really good. He got a few close to the bullseye.
Well, at least he tried it.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. And I was looking through pictures and stuff. He's like the smallest kid there. So, so funny. We got a trip coming up to Battleship Cove in Massachusetts soon, where we stay overnight on a battleship. And that should be interesting. Mm-hmm. Got to drive out there and spend a night in Mass. On a battleship. Nice. It doesn't sound very comfortable.
but what an experience.
It is a good experience just to see what it's like. So, yep, that was pretty much it. Didn't do much else.
Well, the weather was so lousy.
Yeah, it rained and rained and rained, but we needed it.
At
we
the
needed
track, it was terrible. Muddy. Muddy. They had to take the steeplechase off the race, and they put it on Monday's card, but... kept the people away, but the first sunny day I think was Sunday, where mm-hmm. it was nice all day and it was people came out. So
yeah, but yeah, Saratoga's a madhouse right now. Traffic is just—it's so funny. You go up near Albany and it's deserted.
I know,
because track is open. Albany is completely dead. Getting tables at restaurants is no problem right
really?
Now. Down
yeah, it's,
there.
It's terrible up here. It really is. I mean, there's just too many people for the size of the city.
Yeah.
You
it
can't
brings in a
around.
Lot of money, though. Brings in a lot of money for businesses.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, I mean, we're busy all year round. I mean,
oh,
you,
yeah.
You
Saratoga's always a hot spot.
Yeah, you go in the spring or the fall and people
even in
are
the
eating
winter.
Outside.
Well, not outside.
Not outside in the winter, but in the spring and fall, they're eating outside at 10 o'clock at night.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, And in the wintertime, and I always tell people, in the wintertime during a snowstorm, you can see people walking on Broadway going into the coffee shops or the bookstores.
Oh, yeah. I've been on Broadway during a snowstorm.
I mean, it's pretty neat.
People still come out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, track season. Saratoga's a mess. Don't come here. We
don't.
We want you here, but don't come here. We secretly don't want you here. No, we want your business. We do. It's just traffic is annoying. People trying to get to work is annoying. But anyway, so speaking of local, I do have an article local coming from Boston Spa. This little kid was having a lemonade stand and it gets shut down. Well, I have a article here I wanted to read with you. Okay, so Boston Spa. Jody, I'm not even going to pronounce her last name because I'll butcher it. You guys know that. Had simple goals for her son's lemonade stand on Saturday, but learning about New York State health and safety regulatory process was not among them. The parents, husband and wife, Sean and Jody, and their son, Brendan, age 7, live directly across the street from the Saratoga County Fair, which started Tuesday and runs until Sunday. The family lets people park on the lawn for $5 each, $10 on the weekend during the fair. They say they donate about half the money they make on the parking to charities such as Shriners Hospital for Children. "We make out on the parking," Sean said. "When it's not raining, we'll get up to 36 cars and fill it up twice in one day." The entrepreneurial family has also tried to give their son the all-American lessons, inherent in running a lemonade stand off their back porch each of the last 4 years. There's the social aspect of it: speaking, using manners, being polite, counting money. It's not just making money, it's meeting people. These people will come back and see him, and the tradition of it. Jody said the tradition was interrupted Saturday when a woman wearing a green shirt said New York State Department of Health on it walked... This is a terribly written article, by the way. I'm sorry, whoever wrote it. A woman with a green shirt that said New York State Department of Health on it walked into the family's backyard and asked if Brendan had a permit to sell the lemonade. Are you kidding me? You're asking a 7-year-old if he has a permit to sell lemonade, which is like, quote, the American dream of child entrepreneurship.
Right.
I mean, I've been thinking about having a lemonade stand with Noah all summer, and actually now I want to do it more this weekend. I want to like bring it to Saratoga and see if we get shut down and put it on video and like go viral on Facebook just because of this. And so anyway, she asked the 7-year-old if he has a permit to sell the lemonade. She came up on the deck and looked around and said, "You need a permit to do this." She was more afraid that people were going to get sick. Yeah, sure. I don't know, E. coli or something, Jody said. "We decided to stop selling after that." Well, shame on you. You should have retaliated.
Yeah.
If people want it, they can make a donation. It's all over Facebook, and everybody who drives by has been shouting, "Go for the lemonade stand." Brendan said he was hoping to save money for a planned family trip to Disney World in Florida. I mean, how can you shut that down? This little kid just wants to go to Disneyland. I had a lot of customers. Last week I got 60 customers, he said. Sean said in the past his son has collected as much as 67 in a week, selling lemonade for 75 cents a cup and canned sodas for a dollar. He said he never got the name of the State Department health inspector who came to his house, but he believes his family may receive a fine. "She took down all of our information, tried to take a picture of my son and the sign. I tried to put my hand in the way, and I told her I didn't give her permission to take the pictures of my son or anything on my property. So I asked her to get off my property as politely as I could." "Children should feel free to sell lemonade," they said. "We have lots of food and beverage opportunities as well as the animals." I'm not sure where this is going now. "I guess they are in proximity to homeowners like the..." I have no idea where this article is going right now. But I don't know really what their activities are with respect to private residences and the businesses they operate. Seems like it just skipped over something. There are health considerations when people go to the fair. just to prevent the spread of any bacteria associated with the animals to the humans. So I know that we do have inspectors during the week, but I don't really know what activities they participate in once they leave the fairgrounds. Sean said he's not sure if he will apply for a permit next time the family decides to sell lemonade near the fair, or if he'll be required to pay a $150 fine. Brendan, however, has learned a lesson he won't forget. That woman was a meanie, he exclaimed. I didn't have a permit, so she shut me down. Well, I want to talk to this kid. Yeah. I want to tell him about Larry Sharp. That's absolutely ridiculous that they're bombarding a seven-year-old for not having a permit to sell lemonade. I think they should protest and start having kids get together and have lemonade stands all over the Saratoga, Ballston Spa area. I should contact this family and teach them the ways of the free market. I think it would work out good to have a peaceful child protest of lemonade stands. And if, I mean, what's the worst that could happen? People get hydrated with lemonade. It would be good. So anyway, that's local absurd news. You said you heard something.
Yes. Assemblyman Jim Tedisco, who used to be Saratoga's assemblyman until they redistricted, you know, the areas. Mm-hmm. And but he is in Ballston Spa is under
his jurisdiction
district. And he went to the Senate and stood up and told, you know, the New York State Senate and read the article about this child. And what they ended up doing was said that children can have lemonade stands, that there will be no fine for this child. And matter of fact, there was a picture in the Saratogian the other day with Jim drinking a cup of lemonade with the with the boy next to him and the mother and father in the background, and he said, "You don't have to worry about this again."
Good for him.
Yeah,
that's great.
So
awesome. This is just the State Department of Health looking for more money. It's just absolute ridiculous that they're looking for money from a fining a seven-year-old from selling lemonade. I can't explain to you how ridiculous I think that is. Few choice words, but somebody just commented, "What am I watching?" Well, welcome to the show. You are watching a libertarian podcast. This is the live Facebook feed of it, but we do go live on Rick's website, saratogabroadcasting.com, where you get to hear my cute little intro and outro music. And we do post all the episodes up there, and I'll share them on the Facebook page after. But so welcome. This is your first time. We were just discussing a seven-year-old local Ballston Spa kid who had a lemonade stand, and it was shut down by the State Department of Health. And now we are moving on to our next topic. So he says, "You had me at libertarian." Well, thank you. You are in the right place. So I wanted to go on, what was my next thing here? I was going to talk about Demi Lovato, but I might do that at the end if I have time, because it's not very important.
Trump and Russia collusion.
I did want to talk about the whole Trump-Russia ordeal, because it's always main focus of the media. What can we get Trump on? What can we get him on? What can we get him on? Is this going to be it? No. How about the next thing? So there's this article that came out from The Atlantic, which it's a terrible article. I read through it, and the whole time I was just banging my head off the desk. Well, in my head I wasn't really doing it, but I was at work. But
yeah, I don't see any bruises.
No. So it's titled "Scandalous Beyond a Reasonable Doubt." So ever since the election, there's been talk about collusion with Russia, blah, blah, blah. And it's been going on so long. We don't even care anymore. Like, the people that cared to begin with don't care anymore. And honestly, I don't think you can get him on anything. And we'll go into that. I want to read this article first from The Atlantic and just show you how terrible it is. And then I pulled information from the National Paralegal College and about collusion and going through the different you'll see when I read it. You'll see when I read it. So anyway, scandalous beyond a reasonable doubt. Subtitled, in debating whether collusion is a crime, Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani are successfully changing the subject from political misconduct to legalistic phrasing. All right. Through a series of confusing and often contradictory statements over the past 3 days, President Donald Trump and his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, sounds like a baseball player, have kept to one consistent theme, collusion with a foreign power is not a crime. As the president crisply put it Tuesday morning, collusion is not a crime, but that doesn't matter because there was no collusion except by crooked Hillary and the Democrats. On a superficial level, this argument is flawed. As Giuliani acknowledged in one of several moments of excessive canter on Monday, it's a version of the classic hack defense lawyer's argument. My client didn't do it, and even if he didn't, it's not a crime. Yet, despite its facial weaknesses, the Trump's team's lawyer is a part of a broader and highly successful effort to launder a long catalog of political and personal misconduct into a dry legal dispute. Instead of defending a series of plainly outrageous acts, Trump's aides would rather force critics to prove specific statutory violations beyond a reasonable doubt. The fact that Giuliani and Trump have been able to draw their critics into a debate about how whether collusion is a crime demonstrates how well the strategy is working. And you'll see when I get into the next article that collusion really isn't technically a crime, and we'll get into that. So they say, consider the facts that are public. Avoiding the need to speculate about what special counsel Robert Mueller or any other investigator knows privately. During the campaign, Trump called for Russia to hack and release the emails from his political adversary for the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. The candidate later tried to pass this off as a joke. Okay, well, I mean, he did ask for that, but I mean, asking for that technically isn't a crime, and any politician that's running is trying to get dirt on the opponent, and that's just a fact. And if you are saying that it's not true, then you're in denial, because that's happening everywhere. And whether or not you use that information, that's a different story.
Right.
I believe the hacking, and I think they mentioned this in the trial too, but the hacking itself is a crime. But like I said, we'll get into that when we talk about the legal aspects. Late in the election, Trump authorized a six-figure payment to help ensure the silence of a Playboy model with whom he allegedly had an affair. All right, I'm tired of hearing about this. It doesn't relate. Him paying off this Playboy affair doesn't relate.
And the whole thing is, he did it before he was in office.
Right.
Unlike President Clinton, who did it while he was in office and denied it.
Right.
I mean,
and either way, it was a agreement between two people, a voluntary agreement between two people.
And she got the money under the premise that she wouldn't talk about it. It was confidential.
Right. And she violated that contract. So it's two voluntary people with a voluntary action, exchange of money, with a contract. And I see nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I don't think President Trump is a great person. We all know that. He's not the best morally sound person in the world. He's done a lot of bad things, and a lot of them we don't know about and won't ever know about. And this came to the surface where he's trying to quiet somebody up with money. And yeah, for me personally, I don't find that moral. But I mean, we're not the judges of morality. We're not trying to go around policing voluntary actions between people because we don't deem them moral.
Right.
They're still voluntary. And it has nothing to do with Russia.
No.
Absolutely nothing to do with Russia.
And I think, I think he's a good president. The things that he's trying to do is what he promised that he would do. He didn't get in office and then completely turn around. It's just the Democrats will, and well, even some Republicans just won't work with him. And, all they talk about is impeaching him. But I don't know for what, because all this time in 2 years they've been investigating him. They can't come up with anything.
They can't find anything on him.
And all they're doing is arresting people that were around him for things that they did, like Paul Manafort, made $32 billion in dealings with Russia, in business dealings. Well, that had nothing to do with the Russian collusion thing. But Mueller's his investigation is dealing with that. And that's outside the scope of what that investigation was started for.
Right. And like, I don't think he's a great president. I also don't think he's the worst president. I'm very, very indifferent on Trump, and you all know that. There's a few things that he's doing that I like. He's bringing more attention to politics, and he made people pay attention. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, he did. And also, he's created over 3 million jobs, manufacturing jobs, since he's been in office. And the black unemployment rate went down from 8.8, which was the last 2 years of Obama's administration, down to 4.1, which means that there's more African Americans working today than there's ever been. So, he has created a lot of jobs, which has helped the economy, and he's doing that with all these people fighting against him. And, he can't do anything right without the Democrats.
Oh, yeah, he's under a microscope, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably under the finest microscope we've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
We had Obama in here doing all those shady things, starting illegal wars, but where was the microscope on him? But that is exactly what this whole trial is too. It's just putting him under a microscope and trying to nitpick every single detail of his life and trying to find something on him. And I want to read that first part of it where it got into the where they're trying to bring in the fact that he paid off somebody to keep quiet. Who cares? Somebody commented, the first part of the article is great. It's like they condemn the idea of needing proof to be guilty. Right. They're trying to say that he's guilty without any kind of proof. Absolutely right. I hope you mean great as in sarcasm. They are trying to get him without any substantial proof. So I want to get into the discussion of, is collusion a crime? So I have this really good article that's very indifferent to the sides. And there is definitely something shady going on, but what it is, we don't know. Is it criminal? We don't know. We don't have enough evidence. Who knows? Will we ever know? I don't know. But I'm tired of it, and it's honestly just a waste of time, a waste of money. And is collusion a crime? And the plot thickens. The web of entanglement between President Donald Trump and Russia continues to get murkier. my mouth is all twisted up. In mid-July, Donald Trump Jr., the president's son, revealed that he, along with President Trump's campaign manager, Paul Manafort, and the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, chairman for his 2016 presidential election campaign, met with a Russian government lawyer, Natalia, I'm not fluent in Russian, in June of 2016. Prior to the meeting, a mutual friend of President Trump and a former Russian business partner, who is a close ally of Russian President Vladimir Putin, emailed Trump Jr. letting him know that Natalia would provide official documents and information that would implicate Trump's opponent, Hillary Clinton, in her dealings in Russia. Trump Jr. responded to the potential meeting with, "If it's what you say, I love it, especially later in the summer," and agreed to meet with Natalia. Soon after, Trump Jr., Manafort, and Kushner all met with Natalia on the 25th floor of the Trump Tower for 20 minutes. According to Trump Jr., the meeting was useless. More than a year later, though, Trump Jr.'s revelation has unleashed a tidal wave of speculation about what happened and the legal ramifications of this meeting. While there has been certainly been a lot of talk, analysis, and speculation about the meeting, did any of the meeting attendees break any laws by agreeing to meet with Natalia? Which laws were even implicated here? Several media members and many opponents of President Trump have thrown the charge of collusion about, arguing that Trump Jr. and his associates committed this offense. But what exactly is collusion, and is it legal? Great question. The term collusion is defined as a concerted activity towards a common purpose. The colloquial connotation of the word indicates that people who collude have worked together, usually in secret, to do something legal. Keyword here is usually. It doesn't always mean. Still, other than in an antitrust context, collusion is not the name of a crime. In antitrust law, two product sellers who conspire to set the price for goods may be guilty of collusion, but that is obviously not relevant here. Former federal prosecutor Andrew McCarthy recently wrote that collusion is a hopelessly vague term. There is no federal law that criminalizes collusion between a political campaign and a foreign government. Even though colluding with a foreign government, especially one as hostile as the Russian government, may be inappropriate or politically damaging, it is not illegal. In this sense, collusion is viewed as a political term and not a legal term. As a result, Trump Jr., Manafort, and Kushner could not be prosecuted under a charge called collusion. So then this article is going to get into what possibly certain people could be charged for. It's going to get into details of the law a little bit, and I found it really interesting and cleared up a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And really shows that the mainstream media is just throwing this word collusion out here, and people are just mobs, pitchforks, and fire going with it, and nobody's really like researching laws and definitions behind it. And honestly, after I get through this article, you're gonna see that it seems like all the people around Trump are guilty of some kind of possible crime with not enough evidence yet. But yet Trump still has nothing on him directly.
Right.
And still evidence of this meeting and its alleged content should be used in the prosecution of other crimes. So now we get into campaign finance law violations. We're going to get into the legalities of that. The campaign election law that is implicated here is 52 U.S.C. 30121. There are two relevant parts of the statute. The first part is A1A, which reads, "It shall be unlawful for 1. A foreign national, directly or indirectly, to make A contribution or donation of money or other things of value," key phrase, "or other things of value, or to make an express or implied promise to make contribution or donation in connection with a federal, state, or local election. This law extends beyond cash donations as evident by the, quote, other thing of value language. Paul Rosenzweig, you know I'm terrible at last names, I'll keep saying that, a former deputy assistant secretary for policy at the Department of Homeland Security, writes that opposition dirt is at least plausibly a thing of value. The opposition dirt Rosenzweig refers to is damaging information that the Russian government may have collected about Hillary Clinton and her dealings in Russia. In other contexts, federal courts have broadly interpreted the phrase thing of value. courts have held that thing of value includes intangibles such as amusement, sexual intercourse, a promise to reinstate an employee, and information. It is not inconceivable that this could be interpreted to include damaging information on an election opponent. The second part of A2 of 52 U.S.C. 30121 provides it shall be unlawful for 2. A person to solicit, accept, or receive a contribution or donation from a foreign national. So this is where you get into the idea that the people in this meeting in Trump Tower could be charged with soliciting.
Mm-hmm.
Not really collusion, but the more proper term would be soliciting. And even then, there's still not enough evidence for it. So the word solicit has a very specific meaning in its context. Election law expert Rick Hassan said that solicitation is an oral or written communication that, constructed as reasonably understood in the context in which it is made, contains a clear message asking, requesting, or recommending that another person make a contribution, donation, transfer of funds, or otherwise provide anything of value. Anything of value. If Trump Jr. asked Natalia to provide anything of value on Clinton, then it could be found that he illegally solicited a foreign national to provide a campaign contribution. Even assuming Trump Jr. was not successful in actually obtaining any useful information, the very act of meeting with the Russian attorney in an attempt to do so could qualify as the crime of solicitation under the statute. Some critics may argue that a solicitation occurred because Trump Jr. knew that the purported damaging information was something of value, was coming from a foreign national associated with the Russian government. So they could try to get these people involved in the meeting on solicitation. Not Trump, though.
Right.
He wasn't part of it. Although... No. He had to have known it was going on, but he wasn't part of it.
I would think so, but...
Yeah, so either way, you can't get him. Collusion's not illegal. In the political sense, it's not illegal. Solicitation, they can get... who was it? Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner,
mm-hmm.
and Natalia. I can get them on that, maybe if they get enough evidence.
Right.
Okay, so making false statements... Section 1001 of Title 18 of the United States Code makes it a federal crime to knowingly and willfully make any false, fictitious, or fraudulent statement or representation to conceal material information in any matter within the jurisdiction of the executive, legislative, or judicial branch of the government of the United States. Jared Kushner, who has a White House security clearance and is a senior advisor to President Trump, could be charged with making false statements if he had deliberately omitted the fact that he met with a Russian official in completing his security clearance forms. When filing an application to gain his security clearance, Kushner was required to disclose any meetings and contacts with foreign nationals. When he filed his application, he did not initially disclose the June meeting. The omission on Kushner's part could qualify as a crime under Section 1001. Kushner could counter this, that this was an inadvertent omission or that he accidentally forgot to disclose the meeting, as statute requires criminal intent, but it might be difficult for Kushner to successfully assert this defense. The email thread setting up the meeting had a heading of Russian Clinton private and confidential. Such an email subject and such a meeting, prosecutors would agree, isn't easily forgotten. So it's clear that they did know. I mean, they still have to fetch more data and stuff from those emails.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear something was going on, obviously. But anyway, they could try to get Kushner and those involved. Or no, they could try to get Kushner with making false statements as well as solicitation. Conspiracy. Conspiracy is a catch-all crime that applies to plans to commit many different types of illegal acts. A conspiracy is an agreement between two or more people to commit an illegal act, along with an intent to achieve the agreement's goal. In most jurisdictions, at least one conspirator must undertake an overt act taken towards furthering the agreement. This requirement is there to distinguish mere talk from a real plan to commit legal acts. The general federal conspiracy statute is 18 U.S.C. 371. The statute states if two or more persons conspire either to commit any offense against the United States or to defraud the United States or any agency thereof in any manner or for any purpose, and one or more of such persons do any act to effect the object of the conspiracy, each shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 5 years or both. So they're trying to look at conspiracy now. Applying this to our case, the participants in the Trump Jr. meeting could be guilty of conspiracy, even if they committed no crimes, but conspired with those with whom they met to break the laws. For example, it can be established that Russian government intended to illegally help the Trump campaign by providing compromising and damaging information about Clinton and Trump Jr. and Natalia. On behalf of the Russian government, agreed to work together to achieve this illegal goal, then conspiracy may apply. May. There's a lot of keywords here. If, could, can, may. Like I keep saying, there's not enough evidence, information, all that stuff. So it could be argued that Trump Jr. and his associates violated this federal law because they agreed to meet with Natalia to gain knowledge that would defraud the U.S., which includes conspiracies to impede the lawful functions of the federal government. If Trump Jr. and the Russian attorney had agreed to share damaging information regarding the Democratic candidate, then this would impede the administration of a presidential election, which is a lawful function of the federal government. However, the single fact that Trump Jr. met with Russian attorney might not be enough to demonstrate that a conspiracy has taken place. Prosecutors would have to collect more evidence through electronic discovery collection of emails and grand jury testimony that there was more collaboration, discussion, and cooperation between Trump Jr. and the Russian government. Moreover, it is unclear that interfering with an election, even with false information, constitutes the crime of fraud. In the United States versus Gradwell, a 1917 case, the United States Supreme Court held that a conspiracy to influence a congressional election by bribery of voters was not a conspiracy to defraud the United States under the meaning of the code, since it is the state governments, not the federal government, that administers elections. It also must be noted that merely promoting or disseminating false information about a political candidate is political speech protected by the First Amendment. You guys know I love rights, our rights. Our First Amendment is a right to free speech. So presenting false information about a political candidate is technically covered under free speech. As the Supreme Court said in the 2012 case, United States versus Alvarez, false political statements are protected speech, a holding that comports with the common understanding that some false statements are inevitable. And they are, yeah. If there is to be an open and vigorous expression of views in public and private conversation, expression the First Amendment seeks to guarantee. Just showing that the Russians intended to lie about Hillary Clinton would be insufficient. The government would have to show that they intended to commit a more specific federal crime to implicate Trump Jr. The saga of Russian involvement in the 2016 United States presidential election has taken more twists and turns than the plot of a mystery novel. It doesn't look like the issue will be resolved anytime soon, and I agree. Let's see, who wrote this article? Is there a name on here? It came from the National Paralegal College, and I can't seem to find a name because just wanted to let you know who wrote it. But anyway, so they're saying, no, collusion's not a crime. good. They explained why it's not a crime. And they went through campaign finance law violations, soliciting, making false statements, conspiracy. And so they went through all those. And each single one, you did not see any mention of Donald Trump. It's just everybody else around him. I don't think they're ever going to get something on him. I think he's too smart. I think he had, if he was involved in any of this, I think he definitely had people on the outside.
Right.
Do it. And so those are going to be the people that go down.
That's right.
Right.
He doesn't do.
They're not going to get anything on him. And like I said, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. Right. It's a waste of media, and it's all that the media wants to seem to cover.
And the only thing that even got him where they say he admitted to it was his attorney taped all his meetings, which is against the law.
Right.
The one that they arrested. And I mean, that's privileged information. And his attorney now is giving it out, so he'll get a lighter sentence on the things that he did that were crooked. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not relating to Donald Trump. But, I mean, it's a game that these people are playing.
It is a game. It's a huge game. They hate Trump so much.
Yep.
And how much he's stirred up the people of America. And they want to get him out any chance they can.
Well, you know, there's a new syndrome now that they say that people have. Because
a new syndrome.
Yeah, it's called... what the heck is it? Trump disassociated syndrome that people actually have, like, what's that syndrome that soldiers have when they come home?
PTSD?
Yeah, that people that voted against Trump, now that he's in office, they have that because he's president.
You know what they want to do? They want to give them medicine.
Yeah.
they want to give out more medicine. Oh, you guys are just suffering severe PTSD from the election. Yeah. Here, take this pill.
Isn't it something?
Here, take this pill.
My gosh, they'll do anything to take pills.
So that's what I have. I know that was a long article, but it was a really, really good article, I thought. It really broke down... some key aspects of the questions that we should be asking, and gave some legal insight. I myself am not familiar with the law, so to me it was very informative and helpful. As soon as I read it today, I just had to share it with you. Wasn't even in my plans, and then I came across it today, and because I saw a headline of Trump shouting, collusion's not a crime. And like, I've been trying to figure it out if it is or if it's not. And I didn't think it was. And so I had to look into it. And,
but even, you know, what bothers me is though that even they said that collusion's not a crime. They should have said nothing.
Right.
Because by saying collusion's not a crime, it makes me think, well, maybe there was collusion, but it's not a crime.
And probably most definitely was collusion. But either way, it's not a crime. And we're wasting time.
Exactly.
And did you think Trump was going to be going about this the clean, ridden way? No. Well,
and the only reason why...
No.
One of the reasons why the Democrats are giving him such a hard time is because he's not a politician. He won't play their games.
Right.
And he knows how to deal with foreign leaders. I mean, look what he's made foreign leaders do already. I mean, they're now starting to pony up and pay their NATO bills. The European Union caved in and gave up concessions that they should have done under Obama. I mean, he knows how to deal with people.
Yeah, he's a New York businessman.
Right.
When you're in the city doing business, you deal with people like the mob or the mafia, and you got to play hardball with business.
That's right.
It's a known fact that the mob or the mafia, whatever you want to call them, run pretty much the garbage industry in the city. If you want to start up a garbage business down there, you're screwed.
Yeah.
It, But Trump knows how to play hardball. And you're right, he's not a politician. That's why it scares a lot of politicians, because he's not a politician.
Yep.
But I think, I mean, even if there was collusion with Russia, how would you blame Russia at all? It was Trump or Hillary. Hillary wanted to go to war with Russia.
Yeah.
And Trump said, no, let's be friends.
Well, you know, there's another thing, too. I remember reading this before the election. I mean, a couple of years before, that these hackers are so good that I could hack your computer and put a footprint that came from China, the hacker.
Right.
Even though I did it living next door to you.
And so how do we even know?
How do we know that it wasn't DNC that hacked their own computers?
And that's why we don't have enough information. Right. And that this is just a wasted trial. And the only thing that's going to come out of it is rabbit holes. And like I said, that even if they did collude, who blames Russia? They didn't want to go to war. So, of course, they're going to pick Donald Trump that says, let's be friends.
That's right.
Over somebody who's like, let's shoot down all their planes. And, yes, Donald Trump did run on pulling troops out of the Middle East, which he ended up going to war with Syria. So that backfired. But Russia agreed with them, or agreed with him on his campaign promise, mm-hmm. that he would pull people out, and because Russia says we don't belong there,
right?
And they're completely right. Nobody belongs in the Middle East. What are we doing over there? So that's another reason why they supported him.
Right.
Good relations with America and pulling troops out of the Middle East. And if we had Hillary Clinton, we'd be in 20 more wars. As far as debt, it'd probably be about the same. I mean, Trump's spending is a little crazy too, but I mean, every single president just adds it, and it's always different. Democrats will add money for social programs,
right,
in wars. Republicans will add money for wars,
for military. Right.
And so, I mean, you don't get a spending break on either side.
No.
And one side will try to do tax breaks, but not do breaks on spending.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the balance is on, the scale is unbalanced.
No,
and
I know.
So, I mean, no matter who you get in office, our debt is outrageous and we just increase spending.
Well, yeah, all the time. I mean, the only thing you can hope for is that the economy does well and spurs growth, and our, you know, all the indicators look like things are going along, and the GDP, you know, gets there, and you know, we reduce our, and I think that's one of the reasons why he's doing this tariff thing, because we're selling more to we're buying more from China and that, and it's supposed to be an equal deal, and they're not buying enough from us as they said they would. So I mean, that would reduce the debt, you know, because we're paying more for products like that with other countries. The same way with Canada. I mean, you know how many tractor trailers come across the border every day from Canada into the U.S.? It's in the tens of thousands that we're buying from produce and mm-hmm. textile goods from Canada, and they don't buy enough from us to offset that.
Right. So. I do. I did pull out an article that I think I'll save for next time, though, about the trade war. And I'm still not sure how I feel about the trade war, because I feel like trade wars, you're putting so much at risk that they usually don't end well. Mm-hmm. Trade wars don't end well. We have been seeing China coming to the table, though, recently, and I haven't done enough research into it, though, to talk about it today. But the trade war is something that I did want to talk about. And also on the books for next week, Trump says no problem with government shutdown over border wall funding. I'm not going to really get into that, but woohoo, government shutdown. That sounds great. Let's not have government for a little while. Right?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Let's all just govern ourselves.
Just lay back and just, you know. You know, I did want to say one thing that you were talking about, that Ortiz woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Democrats are now starting to move away from her. Remember how she said she wants Medicare? Yeah, because she's so wacky. They can't figure out what democratic socialism means under her. When she explains it,
she's a socialist. Yes, she's not a democratic socialist. She's going to mean bad things for the Democratic Party.
Well, you know how she said she wants Medicare for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the Office for Budget Management or whatever figured out what that would cost? $27 trillion a year.
Oh, yeah. It's outrageous.
I mean, and so now they're kind of backing away from her because she'll bankrupt the country, but there
and that's why the Democrats cheated Bernie Sanders out of the election.
That's right,
because he was too socialist right. for the Democratic Party.
She wants college for everybody, free tuition,
right?
Free Medicare for everybody.
She wants to guarantee $15 minimum wage.
Yeah,
she wants to force all businesses to provide maternity leave for both parents and all this other benefits nonsense.
That'll make us like Russia. We'll be in soup lines and
Yes, that's exactly what happened. I forget who says it, but they say the only thing that comes out of socialism is soup kitchens and bread lines.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what'll happen.
Yeah,
and
because small businesses aren't going to be able to afford $15 an hour. They'll have to lay off people, so you'll have more homeless people.
Right. And someone just commented, "No such thing as free." That's right.
There isn't. That's right.
Right.
Everything costs money.
It does.
Even if they say it's free.
Right. The money for it comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
Or they write off as debt, and it's gonna come from our great-great-grandchildren that are going to have to pay for all this someday.
Well, that or it's going to come from us in taxes.
Right.
And, I mean,
but it's going to have to get paid off someday.
Oh, I know. Nah, they'll keep... I mean, this has been going on. Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, they said, oh, your grandkids are going to have to pay for it. Well, now the grandkids are my children's age, and now they're saying that their grandkids are going to have to pay for it. We'll
hit a depression soon.
Yeah.
Soon enough.
We'll have to keep paying more taxes.
Right. Unless we do something. I mean, either way, the debt's so astronomical that we're going to hit a depression and eventually it's going to have to get paid off. But we need to stop raising the debt. So we need to make some changes. We can't change the fact that we already have so much accumulated, but we can try to change the fact of accumulating more.
Right.
And let's see here, computer. And what else do I have for you? Oh, I was gonna say something about Demi Lovato. I'm not gonna get too far into it, but I don't know if you guys heard, but Demi Lovato, somebody that my generation grew up with, kinda, and a lot of us liked her. I mean, I don't really follow her too much, but I know of her.
She was on a Disney program.
Yeah.
I kind of tune in when I was going through the channels.
Yeah.
She was on kind of a funny show back, you know.
Yeah. And so she's been dealing with heroin, I guess. And she just overdosed and went to the hospital and is in rehab and stuff. And so I just wanted to give a few minutes to say, stop being a hypocrite. Just because I know this has nothing to do with the political nonsense, but this is just something I saw and I had to give my opinion on. Stop being a hypocrite that when celebrities have drug problems, you support them and say, oh, thank you for getting help. You're so brave and strong. But yet when Susie from church ends up, that you see every week, ends up having a heroin overdose and going to the hospital and going to rehab, she's a low life and she's dirty and she doesn't deserve to be alive, and mm-hmm. that she's just a stupid junkie and a druggie. There's no consistency there. And I mean, good for her for getting help. I mean, it sucks that she overdosed, but she's getting help. And I mean, if you're going to say she's a stupid junkie, why is Demi Lovato not a stupid junkie?
Right.
And why are you praising her and that it's so beautiful? And anyway, drug addiction is a terrible thing, and I have mixed feelings about it, about whether it's a disease or a choice. But I don't have time to get into that argument, because that's a pretty heated argument I've had with some people. But anyway, what else? There was Demi Lovato and...
plastic straws.
Oh, the plastic straws. We didn't get to the plastic straws. Yeah, plastic straws. No more for you. California's really
what
going.
What is the big deal about that?
It's environmental friendly not to have plastic straws that we waste, but, you know, disabled people can't use them. And so instead of encouraging people to say no thank you to a plastic straw, we are now... or at least California, I believe, set up a law that it is imprisonable. These people can be fined and go to jail and be thrown in a cage for using a plastic straw. So instead of having people say no to a plastic straw, no thank you, they force disabled people who can't use straws to have to like go get a prescription for plastic straws and then get them with their insurance and then carry them around instead of you just saying no to a straw. Either way, it's a plastic straw and the government should not be telling me what I could drink my drinks with.
Well, they said that handicapped people can't use them.
Oh, well, they have to have like a...
the bendable straw?
They have to have like a... they're going to have like a prescription
for
it.
But that's ridiculous.
It's in the makings, and it's this huge thing that's blown up in the media, and it's outrageous that that the government is even thinking about telling people what to drink their drinks with.
I mean, if you can't pick up a cup, a glass, what are you supposed to do? You can't have any kind of a straw?
I'm not really sure the whole legal aspects of it yet.
I mean, I heard that they're going to allow paper straws. But
biodegradable.
But 50 seconds possibly. Into soda, it's going to disintegrate.
Right, yeah. soda will eat away at it pretty quick. What was it? Oh, I don't remember.
I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's one thing after another. It's just another way for them to make money. Fine you.
Well, California, they're a bunch of wacko berserk people anyway.
No, California, I'm sure there's some nice people out there, but... your state is a wacko.
Yeah, but they're moving out of California.
Yeah,
nice
those
people
are moving. So, quick note before I go. My favorite podcast, Part of the Problem, Dave Smith's Part of the Problem, just had Larry Sharp on yesterday, and the episode is out on iTunes. I'm about halfway through it. I listened to half of it on my way here, and it's great. So if you're in New York, and you've heard about Larry Sharp, or even if you haven't heard about Larry Sharp, go listen to Dave Smith's most recent Part of the Problem podcast episode with Larry Sharp on it. It's really, really good. So on that note, I'm going to tune out here. I'll be posting the link soon. And thank you once again, Rick, for having me here.
Oh, no problem.
Great time. And we'll see you some other time next week.
Okay.